be blessed by the divine word. Have a good day. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, is it not true that whatever you have achieved so far in your life, you have achieved with your own mind? But what you have is not what I have. What I have is not what you have. It is true that you have something unique, and you have, many people have given you many things. The kind of relationships, the kind of successes, kind of problems and failures that you have had so far is entirely your own and your own creation. Have you not observed that when you change your mindset, old friends go away, old relationships vanish, new people, new relationships spring in that position. Have you noticed it?
Yes.
So whose creation is that? So the new friend may give you some gift. That doesn't mean that it is actually his gift to you. It is your creation, your mind, your something in about our inner world that is attracting that gift, that is attracting that person, or that is not attracting something that we want. So there is a will which seems to attract what it needs. There is divinity. There is some supernatural force. There is a force beyond our capacity to comprehend and manipulate or comprehend and use it according to our will. There seems to be a universal law that governs all our actions. For instance, if today you think that you want a Mercedes-Benz, it's probably not going to happen by afternoon. Perhaps it will happen after 10 years. Perhaps it will not even happen. But if it happens, that may be because you thought of it. Correct? 9 out of 10 times, we can correlate our experiences, our situations, our relationships, our people, our products, our materials that we enjoy in our life to certain mindset of ours. We get attracted to like-minded souls who have a mirror image of this in them. Therefore, we are able to relate to them. They may not be exact replica of ours, but this is a mirror image. There seems to be some similarities. They appear like us in certain ways, in certain dimensions, in certain angles, but yet they are unique in their way of living or behaving and things like that. We are able to resonate with them. Therefore, they are part of our life. It could be a brother, it could be a sister who is there with us. But we are able to overall comprehend that we are the Karanakarta. We are the creator of our past and present. Am I wrong in saying this? Do you all agree? Any disagreement now, sir? No. Fantastic. We also look at it in the form of destiny. Now, I can't argue with your viewpoint. But what is your point? Let's ask this question. I was about to ask the same question in a different way, but let me ask it in your own words, in a slightly different way, manner, perhaps, if you permit me. Tell me, who is going to create your future from today? You agreed with me. Of course, you have your freedom to change your mind now. That, I paraphrase, that what you have achieved so far in your life and what you are today is a direct reflection of your inner world. You are the Karanakarta of who you are today. Who will be the Karanakarta of yourself 20 years from now or 40 years from today? It is you. Have I answered your question? Or rather, have you answered your question? You got the answer? We are the creators of ourselves. We decide what we want. We will it. In a matter of time, which is the characteristic of the divine force, that is where the divinity comes in. According to the precise will design of ours, precise will of ours, how much ever we have willed it, how much ever we have wanted it, how much ever we have desired for it, that much in the course of time, the result is happening. But along with it will come all the side effects. Yes or no?
We have to face it.
We have to face it. Sir, I fell in love with one girl. When I got married to her, she told me, you have three conditions. If you agree to these three conditions, I will marry you, she said. Okay, tell me what conditions they are. First condition was that she will be the person, because she is the eldest daughter of the three daughters in their family, will take care of her parents till the end of her life. Pleasure for me, I have no complaints about it. Second, she said that you should not count how much money I am giving to them or how many phone calls I am making to them, how much time I am spending with them. You know, you have no right to control. I decide what I want to do. You are intelligent, more intelligent than me. She's in the M.Tech, I did Delhi. You know, she's an architect. Hopefully she will make money. I have no problems. Do it. But the third condition totally stumped me. I called my uncle. Asked him, see, this lady is putting these three conditions. Two conditions are easy. Third condition, I don't know how to agree. Please tell me what I should do. She should be the one to win all the fights that we have. How do I? At least some 70% she wins, 30% I win. So we can agree. Some negotiation, if she is saying 100% she has to win. My uncle is a wise man because he married my sister, more experienced. So he said, I am telling you from my life experience, please agree to this condition. I was curious, I wanted to know why you are saying I should agree. Anyway, she is only going to win. If by chance you win, you will have to eat outside that day. You better agree. Okay. Now what happens? I fell in love, I agreed to this. Now I expected her to come into my family or form a new family and then live happily, etc., etc. No, desire was there. I wanted this. But what I did not bargain was, what implied there was, father-in-law will come, mother-in-law will come, father-in-law's mother also will come. Mother-in-law's Tanjore paintings will come. Tanjore paintings equipments will follow. Then there will be one Bhagya, who is a servant maid who has been with them for many years. She will come. Bhagya will have a cow. That will come. Cow will have a calf. That will come. Calf has a friend called as Kittu the cat. That will come. That Kittu will decide to sleep in the shoe rack of my house and decide to put kittens every year, or 6-7 kittens will be formed. These are things that I did not bargain for. But it came. Can I say no? I agreed to that condition. No. What I thought was an easy condition to agree turned out to be a condition with so many effects, side effects, baggage that you carry along with it and come. So, divinity decides. It looks at it and says, oh, you agreed, very good, okay, take all this. But what divinity does not tell us is, look, underneath this there are so many hidden conditions, please think through this. Some indication, one SMS also would have been nice for me. Okay, or postcard also would have been good for me. Or somebody would have come. That uncle, whom I asked all the day, hey, careful, Ra. Two conditions you agreed. First condition is very, very difficult for you. It will come along with this kittu kitten and all. Okay, bhagya, cow, calf, everything will come. He also didn't say. Poor man, he didn't have experience. He had experience only in the third condition. He said, okay, which is okay, I agreed with that. And it was easy, actually. Of the three conditions, it was the easiest thing. I said, anyway, agreed. Anyway, she's going to fit. And one or two times when I violated, I realized that I had to eat in Darshini, in Kayandi Bhavan outside, and realized that, okay, I will never make this mistake again. Lesson learned. Actions give results. Results give one of the four results for us. One of the four resultant feelings for us. Pain, Bhagya's cow, kitten, okay, Actually, I tell you, the problem is when somebody has a cow in their house and morning they have to attend to the cow and then come inside the house and clean the house, no matter how much she cleans the house, it will still smell of that cow dung, smell of that, you know, it's as if the Gomata has come inside and gone. Okay? God bless her, great soul. But I can never forget that cow smell in the house. Okay. No amount of Lysol will clean that smell. It's a very solid smell it is. Imagine some people actually drink it. God bless them, right? Now this effect gives us sometimes pain for us. Sometimes it is pleasure. My father-in-law, mother-in-law, for instance, living with me has been one of the greatest blessing for us and my kids. They grew up with a joint family. You know, so many people. They learned so much from them. They learned life skills from them. My children were homeschooled. My two daughters, for instance, my last daughter, she dropped out of school when she was in the third standard and never she went back to school. Never did she go back to school. My older daughter, the second child, that is, she dropped out when she was in sixth standard and she also never went back to school. Both of them are running business today, very successful business, and 20 people are working for her. So, my son also, 11th and 12th, he did homeschooling with us. But my parents-in-law taught so much. Children learn so much by just living together. You see, the life skills come. Communicating with elders, taking care of them, empathy, how you can work together, tolerance, adjustment, sacrifice, which we talk about, which Swamiji talks about. You learn by living together with people with varied skill sets and varied requirements and needs and various mindsets and pressures of working together, living together, adjustment with so many people, small house, cocooned with so many children sitting there. It's wonderful. If you enjoy that thing, it's something that you really, I relished, I thoroughly enjoyed. I have no regrets for having been with them. I'm eternally grateful for my parents-in-law for putting up with me, tolerating with me, you know. Somebody who is constantly looking for ways to pull somebody's leg and making jokes and things like that. Imagine, you know, not every joke of mine will go become a joke like what is happening today. Sometimes it will become serious. I'll say something, somebody, some doctor will become, take it very seriously. Then what will happen to me? Okay. It is a very serious problem. See, once my father-in-law was there, my wife came to me and said, Murli, don't mind me. This don't mind me is a very dangerous starting statement. I'm in trouble. Okay. Don't mind me. Try to be nice to my father. This statement used to trip me like anything. I am being nice to him only. Why do you think I'm not nice to him? Tappu-tippu, you know, crackers will fire in my head. Neurons will start firing in my head. What did I do? Where did I do? Where? And then mind will start imagining things like, I'm not good enough like your father. Some foolish concept in our head. And I'm thinking that I should be better than my father-in-law. I can never be better than my father-in-law. For a daughter, husband will never be good enough compared to her father. This is a comparison with the last battle. Okay, it took me 32 years to realize this. And I think sometimes I don't even realize, not realization, I understand it. Understanding is one step before realization. No, realization comes, I will not make this mistake again and again. So sometimes I go through this experiences so that I elevate myself to the next level. I'm grateful for that. So much I have learned from him. So much I have learned from my mother-in-law. Living with them, living together. It's something wonderful, beautiful, excellent. So there is pleasure. Some of these decisions, some of these thoughts, words and deeds result in certain pleasure for us. Some of it will result in pain, but some of it will result in peace. 1984, I came here. Not here, I learned the meditation in Coimbatore, in Ramnagar. I changed, everything changed. I was like Ghazini Mohammed in August of 1984. Before that, I was in the fifth semester in engineering college in CIT. I was attacking the exam hall 13 times. First semester, engineering drawing. Second semester, mathematics. Third semester, field theory. Fourth semester, circuit theory. Like that. You know, and then the fifth semester, the fourth semester courses. So 13 times I attacked the exam hall, I remember. Attack means attack. Full attack. I actually completely understood the mindset of Ghazini Mohammed. How he would have attacked that temple. That way I attacked that exam hall. failed so many times. Concentration power nearly zero. And I also had this fantastic habit of smoking on those days. Smoking means what? See, I come from a reasonably middle-class family. Not very poor, not very rich. Middle-class family. My father used to work in railways. Mother used to work as a school teacher in a small government-aided school in Chennai. And I took a home educational loan from one of the banks. In those days, 5 years of engineering college education used to cost us 10,000 rupees. Don't fall down. That's all I paid. Okay, this is exam fees, tuition fees, college fees, educational fees, library books, and also hostel fees, mess fees, food, including 320 rupees. 300 rupees will be our hostel and food fees per month. My father used to send me 50 rupees money order for pocket money. Ha, fantastic. When that money order postman comes and gives me money order those days, there's no UPI payment. Straight, take 50 rupees straight to go buy Will's filter cigarette, one packet. That'll come for 1 week. Then it'll go down to gold flakes without filter. Third week, it'll become BD. Now, fourth week, it'll become Tund BD. Okay. If by mistake any fellow drops that BD halfway through, that fellow is dead that day. Okay, you will kill him. You know, five people will, you know, prance on him and I say, but how can you waste one Tund BD? Like, give it till it, you know, burns our finger, we will have to take it. Last 3-4 days, that also is not there. How it will be, you know? Somebody else would have smoked something, put it there. A fellow will go, doodle, 4 people will come and take it. So I am totally shameless about it, okay? That is how we were. Where we will concentrate, where we will exam. Rarely we will go to class. Occasionally we will go to exam hall. Rarely we will pass. This is how we were. A few of us, handful of us who were very bright and very intelligent, but never interested in studying. So when Swamiji's method started, I learned and I improved myself. Next exam, next semester, fifth semester in December, I cleared all my arrears and came distinction in Fortran 4. 85% out of 100 I scored. I think one of the top, perhaps the college first or second or so I had. And ever since, I have only galloped, improved myself, stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped all kinds of nonsense. KG Theater was my actual college. I learned so much about an imaginary, you know, world that is cinema. What cinema it will be? You know, you remember Fazil's movie called Poove Poochudava. I don't know if you've seen this movie. In my old, madam, I watched that came when I think Diwali release or something like that. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, were you the one whom I saw you going 3 times into the theatre same day? Same. I was also like that. Matinee show, evening show, night show. Same day. That way we used to watch mad fellows, where we would study in those days. But then when things changed, when I started learning meditation, things improved. And I improved myself and reduced all this nonsense that I was distracted into, concentrated, improved and passed exam, came out of college, got into a job and then resigned that job also. Started on my own teaching computers, went abroad, worked in companies, went to the Harvard Business School to learn an executive education program. It's a short course, but still I learned something which is wonderful. It's still helping me today. And then came back, started a business on my own and succeeded, earned a lot of money, bought a house, worked in about 17 different countries, in fact. Been to 17 different countries, worked in about 4 countries in my life. I've also not been very interested in any of these things. I don't have any wealth today, but I'm very peaceful. I'm financially not rich, but I'm spiritually rich. I am rich in peace. I am not wealthy in my worries. I am a worry-free man. But I am rich in problems. Lots of problems. But doesn't matter to me. Who is not there with problems? Is there anyone here who says, I don't have any problems in life? You will not find a single human being without complications, entanglements and problems and difficulties and struggles and challenges in life. But you will certainly are seeing me as an example of a man without worries. I am creating a future for myself inside me today that will define how my future Murali will be. My past has created me today. I have not been perfect. It doesn't matter to me. I've hurt people. Fine. I've hurt myself. Fine. But do I recognize them? Yes, I do. Do I want to be a better version of myself? Yes, I do. Am I working towards it? You bet I do. Am I a better person today than what I was yesterday? You bet I am. Will I be a better person tomorrow than what I am today? 100% guaranteed. Will I be a better person in this session than what I was in the morning session? I guarantee I will be. Because I'm going to finish my class at 6:45 today, not go up to 7 o'clock. It's an improvement, no? I want to improve. There is a desire in you to improve. Am I right? You want to become a better human being. There is no better comparison for you than your past to your present. Have you become a better version of yourself today than your previous version? Can you become a better version of yourself tomorrow than today? This is progress. This is personality development. That is why this course used to be called personality development when Swamiji was there. When he was conducting classes, he never used to call this as introspection courses. He used to call it as personality development courses. What is personality? According to you, what is personality? Anyone here?
Character
development. The characters exhibit themselves, manifest themselves as our behaviors. Inside us, we are all divine. Inside us, we are all pure. But outside of us, when it manifests as actions, some of our actions result in pain for self or others. At present or in the future, something that I have done several years ago would come back and hurt me, let's say last week. I go back and think and say, some stupid decision I made, which appeared a very pleasurable, very fantastic decision some 6 years ago or so, came back to hurt me after 6 years. It hurt me, let us say, very badly. I have to accept it. I cannot run away from that. It's a responsibility I have. I cannot run away from the consequences of my actions. But I cannot break down under that mistake. I cannot fail and feel miserable and crumble under the mistake of the past. I have to pick myself up and say, okay, I made that mistake. I will not make it today. I will become a better human being today. From today, I shall be vigilant, I shall be conscientious, I shall be conscious, I shall be aware, I shall meditate, and I shall introspect, and I shall change the character. How do I change the character? What kind of practice will help me? What kind of superimposition, and what should I superimpose myself on?
Positive thoughts over negative ones.
Why is it that important?
Can't control the negative thoughts, but we can superimpose more of positive thoughts.
Where are these negative thoughts in us that needs to be superimposed? Where is it emanating from?
Mind.
What is this mind? Can you show me?
Sense.
In what form are these characters stored in us?
The genetic center is not.
Imprints. Every experience becomes an imprint. What is an imprint?
Karma.
Where is it stored?
Karma is imprint.
Karma is imprints. Let's understand the...
Every good and bad.
Of course. How do you define bad imprints and good imprints? What is the distinguishing, discriminatory factor between the two? How do you decide?
If you do introspection, and which we feel more
good and happy, that is... Pleasure is...
If you give some happiness to others, that will give some good, because good karma for us, maybe that is good.
Anything that leads, any imprint that leads to an action, thought, word or deed, resulting in peace and ecstasy, bliss, is a good imprint. Anything that leads to immoderate pleasure, uncontrollable pleasure and leading to pain, is a sin imprint. Am I right in saying that? Anything, even any pleasure will lead to pain. Ice cream example we discussed. One ice cream, two ice cream, how many ice creams can we have? How many music songs we can keep on listening? Okay, maybe A.R. Rahman songs, or it may be Anirudh songs. How long can we go on listening to music? At some point, my ears will start paining. The mind will start, disrupting or disliking it. So we will ripple, we don't want that. So it's causing pain for us. Therefore, our mind doesn't want it. There is a threshold limit up to which it is harmonious. The expenditure of magnetic energy in indulging in pleasure-giving activities have a threshold limit beyond which the same pleasure becomes pain. Whether it is sound or taste or smell or light or pressure, touch, whatever it is that we indulge in, has a threshold limit. Therefore, pleasure-seeking activity is not going to give us permanent happiness. Peace-giving actions we need. That is when we reach that ecstatic state. How will we go towards peace-giving activities? We have to get rid of the sin imprints from us. Sin imprints are pain-resulting imprints. When the time comes, for example, I'll give you an example of how this imprint will manifest into action when the time comes. We have come from outside. We have left the keys on the side table. We forgot about it. And suddenly somebody is saying, "Hey, Mama, can you come? Let me pick me up. I'm standing here." You have to take the car and you have to go pick the person up. Let's say your daughter is waiting or your son is waiting. You go pick them up. Then you realize you forgot where your keys are. You're in an agitated mood. What do you do? Forgot where the keys are. What do you do? Perhaps panic is a result. But you have to remember where the keys are. How will you remember it? How will you recall? You searched everywhere. You have not found the keys. What do you do?
You go for a duplicate key.
A duplicate key is not there. Only one key is there. And that is somewhere in the house. You know you kept it. Do you know where you kept it? How do you recall?
Sit in the car mode.
See, my mother-in-law used to have one technique for this. Whenever we have this kind of problem, mother-in-law will say, "Murli, come, sit down here, drink a cup of water." Have you noticed many people in our houses, in families, we have that habit, old people especially, they say, "Come, drink one water." You will recall where you have kept the keys. So you drink water, you cool down, you calm down. I kept it in the stool next to the sofa in the hall. It will be there. You take it and you go. How did this happen? This is an example of how an imprint, a memory, indelible imprint of yours, which you forgot a minute back, came back to recollect. It manifested, it visualized, you were able to recollect. How? We understand that every imprint is stored in our genetic center. That is a different story. But 1 minute ago, you did not remember it.
We go to the frequency.
Correct. Phone is ringing. Everybody has got phone. One person's phone is ringing. Other person's phones are not ringing. Why? The wave that is emanating from the tower nearby is at a frequency which his phone can receive and pick and decipher. It is a secure message. This phone has got a particular deciphering mechanism which deciphers that, and the frequency is matching and his phone is ringing. My phone is not ringing, but there are electromagnetic waves radiating from the tower nearby. It does not affect my phone, it affects his phone. Likewise, there are frequencies that are emanating from our imprints according to the situation, environment. When our mind functions with that frequency, this imprint becomes, it visualizes, expands and shows as this is what it is. It can be a memory, it can be a recall, it can result in an, it will motivate yourself. First it will appear as thought, which is what you call it as mind. This entire action of taking the imprint from the genetic center, expanding and visualizing, and then working on it, analyzing, discriminating, cognizing that, experiencing that, discriminating that, and acting according to the conclusion. From the time the feeling starts, to the time the conclusion appears, the entire 10 steps that you have learnt in analysis of thoughts. You remember the 10 steps? Feeling, need, zeal, action, result, enjoyment, experience, research, conclusion. Those steps that we talk about, the entire collection of these 10 steps of the mind collectively is called as the mind. The mind is nothing else but a projector and a microscope and a compressor. It compresses every single thing that it experiences and stores it inside our genetic center. And when the frequency is matching, it projects that imprint in the brain cells. And then we recall what that particular thought is. And that thought is also being analyzed by the mind. Now let us say we are motivated to act on that particular thought. That result of that action may be pain, pleasure, or peace, or ecstasy. One way to discriminate is to go through our own past experience. Another way is to ask somebody elderly, Amma, can I do this? Will I get hurt? Will it be okay? You tell me your more experience. The mother will tell us, do Ma, don't do Ma. She will give us ways of doing it, or she will refer some past experience, or she will refer some scriptures, or she will refer some elderly person. No, no, in our family, my father used to say, don't cut your nails after sunset. Why? Because in those days there was no light. You take a nail cutter or you take some kind of a blade gate, something like that, in the darkness, you cut it, skin may get cut. So there was a reason why that was taught. So she may remember that and tell us not to do it. There may be a genuine reason why it may still be valid today. Some of them may not be valid today. So you then discriminate. Arey, your tata said it because he was in a village and there was no power at that time. I have UPS, I have inverter, constantly I have power. Why should I very well cut the nails? So there are many reasons why. Sometimes they don't even know the reason. They tell you, this is a belief in our family, we always do it like that. But you just follow that, you continue the tradition the same way until you realize that maybe it is necessary, maybe it is not necessary, maybe some adjustments are required. But man was there. He was a very staunch Krishna Bhakta, Vishnu Bhakta. So Krishna Jayanti he will always celebrate. But he died one day. His three sons decided that in memory of our father, we should continue this tradition of doing Krishna Jayanti. So Krishna Jayanti puja, everything was organized. And suddenly they said, stop, stop, stop. We have to get a dog. Went out. Some street dog they captured. Brought the street dog. Tied it in the puja room. And started the puja. Where that street dog will allow them to do puja. Old friend of his father came into the house. And he said, in father's memory, you are doing it. I should be there. Came. And then he saw the dog. And he said, Yepa, your father's memory, you are doing puja, okay? What is this dog doing? No, no, uncle, you don't remember. My father always used to have a dog in the puja room doing this during this Krishna Jayanti puja. Therefore, we have to have a dog. That old man said, fools, your father had a pet dog. None of you liked that dog. None of you bothered to take care of the dog. So the dog, you always used to tease the dog. So the dog used to be scared of all you people and used to run away from you and he start barking at you. So your father was the only man to whom the dog was attached. So there was no other choice for that man to keep the dog wherever he went. If it is in the puja room, you will tie it in the puja room. It was not part of Krishna Jayanti puja. Sometimes it happens like that. We learn. We learn and constantly keep learning. So the imprints are undergoing changes constantly. While the changes can happen due to triggers from external experiences causing pain for us or causing embarrassment of some kind, we don't want this pain resulting imprint anymore or behavior anymore. We like to change. We change ourselves. Hey, I've forgotten. Yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Forget it. Forget it. How do we willfully change it? How do we cleanse our genetic center? How do we clear these sin imprints? How do we get rid of this unwanted, unnecessary contaminations which are pulling our spiritual growth in life? There are three techniques that Swamiji has taught us: superimposition, expiation, and neutralization. First, let us take superimposition. Let's take a thought. I will give you an example, which I love to give to people, about a king whose head was balding. Did I give you this example?
Yes.
Gave you. Correct, no? Right. So here is a beautiful example of a thought that can be superimposed and the old thought can be removed. Now I want you to take your notebook and a pen. I want you to do this exercise along with me today. Write down a thought. Something. It may be your behavior, it may be your habit, it may be something that is causing some kind of a aberration or a disturbance or a pain or something like that. Any one thought. You don't have to tell me what the thought is. You don't have to tell her also what the thought is. Your thought. Let him do it. Poor fellow. Okay. Now ask yourself, will this thought, if it manifests in an action, thought, word or deed, say it becomes a deed or a word, action resulting in some kind of a result, some kind of a effect, cause creating some kind of an effect, will it hurt me? Answer the question. Hurt yourself. Not me means not Krishna will be issue, hurt you. Will it hurt the self? Write down the answer. Also write one or two sentences of how it will hurt you. Physically, mentally, it can hurt you physically or mentally, correct? Write down. How will it affect you mentally? How will it affect you physically? One or two sentences. An example we are doing, exercise. Don't have to do it in full details. Now, second, will it hurt others? Answer. If this thought manifests in action, such as a deed or a word, will it hurt others, anybody, physically, mentally, right, to both dimensions. The third, also ask, will it hurt me or others at present or sometime in the future? If so, how? Write it down. Will it hurt me or others physically or mentally at present or in the future? All the three dimensions, six different sub-dimensions, please answer. Write one or two sentences to explain to yourself what could be the effect. Done? Alright. Now come to a conclusion. Will this thought result in pleasure, pain? This is one side of the coin. Other side is peace, ecstasy. Come to a conclusion, write down. What is the result? Final result, final conclusion. Lovely. If the thought is going to result in pain to self or others now or in the future, physically or mentally, this is a sin imprint. Sinful thought, hurtful thought, painful thought. Correct? What do we do? Empty pot, air in the pot. We have to remove the air from the pot. What do we do?
Fill the water.
Fill the water. What means? To get rid of the thought?
Find
a new thought that we need to replace on top of this thought. Now find a replacement thought. If it is painful, find a replacement thought. Find an alternative thought in place of this thought. Negative thought, sinful thought, hurtful thought, painful thought. Got it? We have got the ingredients to superimpose. Now, how do we superimpose? We need to know the technique of superimposition. You got a old thought?
Implementation.
How? Imprint level superimposition must happen, not at the personality level, behavior level. This is where your introspection exercise comes into play. You have analyzed your thoughts. This is 50% of analysis of thought exercise. The remaining 50% is actually superimposing through the power of visualization and auto-suggestion. Let me introduce you how your brain works. Brain works with three important factors, which is part of my name actually. Yesterday I was telling you, Dhanush, about it. My name is Murali. That's how everybody calls me. M-U-R-A-L-I. Your brain works like the second half of my name. A-L-I. Association, location, imagination. So if you remember my name, you will remember how your brain works. Association. I was coming to this class from Dhanush house. We were walking together. Ashwin and I are coming here. And he was talking about his cousin. And he was saying that my cousin was born about 10 years ago when we bought the car. He is very attached to his car. So his association, now you see association. My cousin born in the same year that my car was bought in my house. I love the car. So indelible record got created. He will never forget it for the rest of his life. He doesn't even have to remember which year a cousin of his was born. He only has to, because he's so attached to his car, he loves car, he's going to be an automobile engineer, he's dreaming for one, he's going to Germany very soon to become an automobile engineer. So his car is a dream for him. So he has been spending time visualizing how he will design a car, manufacture a car, design, engineer a car, etc. So his first car when he bought, he will even remember the date, time, he will remember what shirt he wore that day, how the car came, who drove the car, where he sat. Correct? Everything he will remember. Okay. Therefore, he will remember the birth year of his cousin. See, everything is there. You will remember the location, you will remember the visualization, and, you know, imagination, you remember that association. Tadak and record. This is the magnetic knot. This is the memory, this is the imprint that we are talking about. Now, like this, you have to create an imprint. You have to create an imprint which is indelible, unerasable in your mind, which is so strong. The way to do that is meditate at Agna and then meditate at Durya. For 5-10 minutes you meditate. Go to the alpha frequency of the mind. What is the alpha frequency? 8 to 13 cycles per second is the alpha frequency. Sleep with dream state, they say. But here we are not going to sleep. We are not going to dream. But we are going to visualize. We are going to remain in alpha frequency by meditating over our own Kundalini Shakti, life force, at the Sahasrara Chakra, crown chakra. While we feel the life force pulsating at that particular level, at our chakra, crown chakra, our brain will start stabilizing at the alpha frequency. At that frequency, we begin to visualize. What do we visualize?
The positive things.
The old negative thought. What are the triggers? The thought has some triggers, no? It doesn't occur all the time. It occurs at some point of time, at certain locations, in certain environment. So remember it, which location, under which circumstances, that old negative thought emanated from you, manifested in your mind. Now recall that vividly. Now there are trigger points that made this thought trigger and come up. Correct? Old thought. Now you have a new thought. Same trigger, same situation, same environment. Now you want a new thought. Now what you should do is you should use the power of visualization association. This trigger is the trigger association we are talking about. In that trigger, we have to associate this new behavior that we are now deciding to imprint in the old place and use the power of visualization to make it manifest. Let me give you an example. because you all written your personal example there. Let me give you a personal example from my life, which I love to share with people. I realized long ago, and something that I have been practicing this very, very regularly nowadays, is if I have to wake up at any time of my will, if I tell my mind I have to wake up at this time, I wake up. But getting up is a problem. Let us say I have to get up to do my exercises early in the morning or meditation early in the morning. Nowadays, promptly 4:35, I wake up. Waking up is never a problem for me. Getting out of the bed has been a big challenge, especially in this cold temperature. You feel like, oh, snuggling inside the warm.
I got there.
I know. You are like my father-in-law. You will keep at alarm at 5 o'clock. You will wake up at 4:50. You will keep looking at the alarm. And then 5 o'clock, now you will get home. Okay. Like my father-in-law. He never needs alarm. I don't, but you will still keep the alarm. I don't know why he does that at all. He is alarm clock born. Okay. I'm also becoming like that slowly. I'm able to. Now, I realized my brain how it works. Perhaps it is how it is working for you also. It may not be too different from how it works. I don't have a very unique brain. I have a common brain like all of you people. Perhaps a weaker brain than what you have. You're more intelligent, more fresh and young and energetic than me. Now, I'll tell you how my brain works. I realize that always the first step is the challenge. And then I mechanically follow the remaining step. So I tell myself, I am not going to worry or think too much about meditating. I am only going to get up from my bed, go to the toilet to put some water on my face. That's all I will focus on. I have to wake up at 5 o'clock, put water on my face. Matter over. And then I can never go back to sleep. Okay. The next thing I feel like doing it, okay, I'm fresh, now what do I do? Meditate, no? Meditate. Next step, then mechanically, taka, everything follows. So likewise, you think about what trigger, what visualization. So when I go to bed, I tell myself, 5 o'clock, put water on my face. 5 o'clock, put on. That's all I have to think. I won't feel like sleeping beyond that time. So I'll only tell, how much ever tired I am, I'll tell myself, just put water. That is easy for me. A brain will sing, I am watching water only, no, we put. After putting, we will see how we will make you go back to bed again. But then the brain doesn't realize that you will never go back to sleep once you put water on your face. Then you get used to it. Step one, similarly, let's say you want to exercise. Do not think of exercising fully. Just think of putting a mat, putting your feet on the mat and standing. That's all you have to work. This is the inertia that you have to work. The door is closed. You have to open. First to pull only is difficult. Once you pull, the door will open. Likewise, first leg forward only is difficult. Then it's easy. So one of the greatest gymnasts in the world, I forgot her name, Olympic gold medalist she was. And she was asked this question, what is your secret of winning gold medal in Olympics? She says, it's very simple. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I have to get into a taxi. That's all. That is the secret of my success. Nobody understood. Why? He look, 5 o'clock, I'll order a taxi. The taxi fellow will come. Okay, I have to get into the car. The taxi will take me to the gym. Then I have nothing else to do. I have to exercise. I have to gymnast. Become a gym. I have to practice gym. Practiced every day morning. My focus was only getting into the car at 5 o'clock. The rest was just like an automaton, like a robo, everything else. I'm sure it is happening for you in your family. Let's say you want to wake up in the morning, you have to take care of your family, cook, maid will come, this is a bhagya, cow, calf, kitten, everything you have to take care. You don't have to think of so much in the morning and plan and things like that. All you have to tell yourself, get up, drink a cup of coffee, drink a cup of tea, wake up, put some water, brush your teeth, go to the toilet, do some. One step only you have to think. Rest, taka, everything will fall in place. This is how the brain works. This is the power of visualization. Think of just the one step and visualize and knot it, create that magnetic knot, K-N-O-T. Keep strengthening this using the power of visualization again and again and again and again and again. Everything else will fall in place. The old habit will slowly sublimate. And eventually, this habit will expiate itself, it will go away. Old habit of oversleeping will go away from your system. Likewise, every habit of yours, whether it is anger, whether it is unwanted desires, let's take an example of a desire. Let's take money as a beautiful example. Everybody wants to be rich, financially rich, not spiritually rich. Some of you, of course, are great exceptions. You are sitting here learning to become spiritually rich. This is the true wealth, not financial riching. I'll tell you why. Because financial rich is a myth. Anybody's got money? I repeat, 10 rupees, 100 rupees, 50 rupees. I promise to return the money. Please give it. Don't give it to me, sir. Just keep it with you, sir. What is that rupee, sir? How many rupees are there? 500 rupees. Who told you it is 500, sir? Sir, read it out, sir. Read it aloud for us.
I promise pay the
bearer.
Pay the bearer.
A sum of rupees.
Sum of rupees. And then
500 only. Who has signed it, sir?
Governor.
RBI governor, no? Reserve Bank of India governor has promised to pay you 500. So this is not 500 rupee note. Am I right or wrong? This is a promissory note. Sir, now you go to RBI governor, sir. Give him this 500 rupee promissory note. Tell him to give you 500 rupees, sir. Totally stumped he is. What, sir? He is doing something, sir. I know. I tell that there's a trick in your question. I'm not able to understand what your trick in question, sir. It is only a promissory note. That's all it is. It doesn't have 500 rupees. If RBI, if you want to find the one of the poorest person in the whole world, it is RBI governor only. He doesn't have any money. Whatever salary government gives only, he takes home. Which is also only a promissory note. The money that you seem to be having in your bank account is only a promissory note. That's all it is. Bank is giving you one promissory note in the form of one, you know, balance or account statement. That is also a promissory note. Everything is only promise. We believe in the promise. You maintain the promise, I maintain the promise. You buy something from me, I give something to you because you think that this is of value. And you give me that money, I accept the value because I can get something else of value from somebody else and I give you what I have as a product or a service to you. Yeah, it is. This promissory note is basically an intermediary between two barter transactions. That's all it is. Otherwise, this is a mere... See, it is myth. There is actually nothing called as money that exists in the world. And who created this?
Man.
Which man, sir? Which man, madam?
Governor.
RBI governor printed it.
Yes.
Now you want money. What do you do?
Go to the RBI.
Huh? Actually speaking, you should find RBI governor and worship him, bless him, tell RBI governor mantra and take his blessing and take money. Do you do that? Which temple do we go? Lakshmi temple. If at all there is a Lakshmi, imagine how much she will be rolling on the floor and laughing. Hey Baba, what kind of a crazy human being you are? Your own governor printed the money, which is a promissory note. You think there is value. You think I created it. I have nothing to do. I don't even have a printing press in my, wherever I am. If at all I am living, there is no Lakshmi. But imagine that there is a Lakshmi and she doesn't have this printing press. And then she will laugh at you and say, what is this? You are coming and ask me, how can I give you money? I cannot give you money. Big bubble burst now. That doesn't mean you should not work. Say, yes, I went to Arya Temple of Consciousness. One big bubble damalit burst. I will no more work for money. Don't do that. You will become a liability for your family and you will start blaming me.
This was mentioned by
Krish Murli, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, now I have to go get some other note. I have to apply for bail note now.
We are recording also.
We are recording also now. But this is where, you know, I create my own witness now. Okay, no, I stand guilty in the court of the society. Now, you should work. We all have to work because there is a due that we have to pay to the society. In the process, the society is so grateful that it is paying us more so that we become self-sustaining. We don't become a further burden on the society. What a beautiful system, no, that human beings have created for ourselves. It is divine's own creation. This process of realizing, understanding and finding out what will cause pain and taking a new thought, new force, a new imprint and putting it over and creating a knot removes the old knot. This is the power and the process of superimposition with the power of introspection and auto-suggestion, which is nothing else but visualization. In the process of visualization, you are superimposing, auto-suggesting to yourself. Remember this process always. All the four practices of analysis of thought, moralization of desire, neutralization of anger, eradication of worries, has this fundamental principle of what is it that is causing pain, what can it not cause pain, and superimpose. That's all there is to it. All the four processes will help you to get rid of the sin imprints from your system. This is step one. Step two is very simple. Of course, it is difficult for some of us because we have this beautiful problem or beautiful, call it as a beautiful problem. It is very hilarious and humorous and perhaps a very amusing thing for us called as ego. Ego is believed to be useful. In a small child, there is no ego. But as it grows, it begins to create an identity for itself. It thinks, I think like that, I talk like this, I speak like this, I act like this, I am that, I am an automobile engineer, I am dreaming to go to Germany. So you create certain imagery of yourself. That becomes a smoke screen. You relate to the world through the smoke screen. That smoke screen is called as ego. Because of the ego, there is illusion. Illusion causes pain. That pain, if you have caused to somebody, go and say sorry to them. Sorry, sir, I've made this mistake. I won't do it again. If they, from the bottom of their heart, forgive us, then this imprint will go away. This is expiation technique. Neutralization is super simple. You already know it and you are beginning to practice it. Agna meditation neutralizes akamya karma. Akamya, futuristic resultant karma. Durya meditation neutralizes akamya and prarabdha karma, this birth karma. Neutralizes means further imprints are not possible. The magnetic knot gets released in the process of meditation itself. The formative dust cloud which got formed with a particular pattern using the divine mighty fluid that is emanating and creating a compressive cloud around itself gets released. When it gets released, that particular imprint gets neutralized. Further imprints are not possible. So, Duriya meditation neutralizes Akamya Prarabdha. Duryatita meditation, which you learnt today, neutralizes Akamya Prarabdha and Sanchita Karma also. When we constantly keep cleansing it in the process of introspection, moral, virtuous way of living, we learned that in the previous session, moralistic way of living, non-hurting, ahimsa way of living, and when we introspect regularly and superimpose, these three are not in substitution of each other. You have to do it in, they are basically complementary to each other. You have to do all the three. You have to first prevent causing pain by increasing the awareness and consciousness, which is possible through meditation. Agna, Duryam, Duryatitam and various other meditation that you learn. Practice it once in the morning, once in the evening. Create a schedule and do it. I have a calendar. When you form the WhatsApp group, I will share the calendar to you. I also have the audio recording of this in English. You can play it. The same sequence in which it is given in the smart guide, I have recorded it in my voice and I've kept it. You can follow that. Whatever meditation you follow. Whatever meditation you have not learned, substitute it with the meditation that you know. Do not substitute Shanti meditation. Please follow the Shanti meditation and that schedule strictly. Fridays are Shanti meditation days. Yes, ma'am.
So, your suggestion is that we can do
meditation. Introspection and expiation. That is saying sorry and compensating to that person. Made a mistake. I'm coming to that. First meditate. Make sure that you are preventing problems. Second, introspect. Keep a time schedule. 1 hour a day or before going to bed, Sit on your bed. Think through the whole day. What all happened? How can I improve? What caused pain? What caused different kind of results? What caused different kind? What were the feelings that caused by the different kind of results that I had? What were your actions? What are the root cause of those actions? Can I moralize this? Can I improve it? Can I not cause pain tomorrow? Can I remove my anger? Can I remove my worry? How do I do it? Every day before going to bed, do it. Maybe keep a diary and write it down if you don't mind writing it. Once you do all of that, then your karmic imprints, cleansing becomes a natural second habit of yours. Every day you are doing it. Or keep 8 hours in a week. Mondays were always silence days for Swamiji. Every week Monday, he will never used to talk. Every year, 7 to 15 days, he used to sit in silence. Usually in the month of December, he used to sit in silence. Like that, you can create a calendar for yourself. Daily calendar, weekly calendar, monthly calendar, yearly calendar. You create for yourself for silence. You have to remain in silence during introspection. That's important. No books allowed, no video allowed, no mobile phone allowed, no watching TV allowed, no talking allowed, no sign language allowed. It is about you listening, which is why the word listen and silent are spelled with the same letters. In silence, you can listen. L-I-S-T-E-N-S-I-L-E-N-T. Same letters, six letter words. So you should listen to your mind. When you are silenced, God will speak to you from inside you. Follow the process. Moralization of desire, analysis of God, eradication of worries, neutralization of anger. Tomorrow we will learn who am I. Five processes. Create a schedule for this. 2 hours maybe, or whichever is important. Let us say anger is important for you in a particular week or a particular period of time. Next 1 month, anger is important. Neutralize them. Every week only do that. Eight hours, you do that. You will succeed in getting rid of these imprints, preventing it, making sure that your past hurts are also neutralized. Because you're going to do all three. Expiation, neutralization, superimposition. We have to do it repeatedly, repeatedly, again and again. Doesn't matter how small the child is. You made a mistake, go and say, sorry, pa, forgive me. You'll also learn a lesson, nothing wrong in saying sorry to a small child. Learn to say sorry, learn to compensate. Okay, I did this to you, I'm sorry, I was in a different mood, I didn't have time. Come, I will tell you a story. The way of compensating to a child, you don't have to buy chocolates and things like that. Sometimes just giving time is the biggest gift you can give to a child. So this is expiation technique, by introspection, meditation. Constantly keep doing this again and again, so you neutralize your imprints and you superimpose and expiate your imprints. Your genetic center becomes pure. Create a schedule, follow this, you will certainly succeed in attracting good health, long life, enough wealth, peace, prosperity, fame and wisdom. May our Guru and God always be there with you. Good luck, be blessed. May your genetic center be purified. May you achieve all that you want to achieve in your life. May you attain perfection and self-realization. God bless you. Be blessed by the divine. Wow. Wow.